Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on this beautiful Saturday morning right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball from 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday morning. Today, wondering how many more celebrations the Cubs are going to have and how many years the White Sox will have to wait to pop the corks themselves. Good morning, Bruce.
Wow. So painful.
No, that's just wondering. This was a topic this week. Chris Getz addressed it. We'll get to him later. The Sox eventually going to pop the corks again.
Nobody's improved by 20 games since last year.
That's
other
true.
Than the White Sox.
So you have the most improved team in baseball?
Yes.
Put it on a t-shirt. Have most improved team in baseball night. Sunday, that's the last home game. Get out there and see the Sox play.
It was a big week here in Chicago. The Cubs going to the first real playoff since 2018. 2020 doesn't count in anybody's mind. Nobody even has a memory. Even the greatest of Cub fans have no memory of the 2020 season where they lost two games in a row at home. I'll say that again. Two games at home to the Marlins in front of no fans, right?
Mm-hmm. There were no fans there.
Limited media and no excitement over a 60-game season. So this is really the first time since 2018. And that season, if you remember, David, in the last weekend, crumbled to a disaster within 3 days.
It really did.
Winning of being ahead to win the division, losing the division on the last game of the season to the Brewers, and the next day losing a wild card game to Colorado to be out of the playoffs.
That memory of that experience is more indelible than anything that happened in 2020 with the Cubs. So
no question. Yeah.
You remember those times because that was the last 162-game season that ended with the Cubs still playing.
And that was the beginning of the end for the Joe Madden Cubs.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, because that was the point of no return. You saw what happened the next season, and then the rest is Cubs history. It has been a while in Cubs history since they actually won a playoff game. 2017, you're going back to. That's when they were in the midst of the golden era of Cub baseball, 2015, 16, and 17. So what is ahead for the Cubs? We're going to ask a question today. Can the Cubs win it all? Is this a team, as it is constructed, that is going to begin playoff baseball on September 30th and say they realistically can win a World Series?
So my friend Andrew Miller, who's one of the executive producers at Marquee, said to me yesterday, without Tucker and without Palencia, at their best, he thinks it's going to be really hard for the Cubs to win.
I think there are two answers to that question, and you're exactly on it, Bruce, as usual. I think that if you have Kyle Tucker and Daniel Palencia as part of your playoff rosters, and if I mean plural, if you win the first series, you can change your roster. But if Daniel Plancy and Kyle Tucker are contributing, I think you can say the Cubs are good enough to win a World Series.
So
without them, maybe not.
We'll make that our show theme for Cub fans. Can the Cubs win without the best form of Palencia and Tucker moving forward here? Can they get out of a round? Can they get out of two? Do they have to be the star performers they were for the Cubs to move on?
312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. Call us, text us. Weigh in on how good you think the Cubs are and how long October might last on the north side. We've got a big show ahead. We're going to talk to Matthew Boyd at 10 o'clock to find left-hander for the Cubs who is likely to get a playoff start in that rotation. Where it will be, we'll discuss.
Likely.
Likely? Definitely? Okay. I'm not Tommy Hotovy, but I do think that he did give us some insight earlier in the week. We'll get to that. Yeah, Matthew Boyd, okay. Definitely will make a playoff start. I suppose I'll remove the doubt. 10:30, we'll talk to Steve Stone about things going on with the White Sox. They've had an interesting week. They beat Dylan Cease last night in Dylan Cease's first appearance against his former team, the Sox. And then along the way, we'll hear from Chris Getz and play a little chin music.
Cub fans were big White Sox fans yesterday.
Yes.
Huge, because as they watched their team go down in flames after taking a 4-2 lead in that game and getting bombed out by five Reds home runs off Cub pitching, they quickly switched to the White Sox and watched them hold on by their fingernails over the San Diego Padres.
That was a nice solid they did for the Cubs. Magic number is four. Bruce, I know that the Cubs were one hit by Hunter Green and last night blew a lead, but the only thing that I care about that's happened in Cincinnati so far was Shota Imanaga giving up three home runs last night. I know it's a Great American Small Park. I know that it's the Reds can hit their share of homers in that ballpark, but Shota getting shelled is not the way you want to go into October.
Yeah, I look at the home runs, you know, again, three solo shots, you usually say, oh, no big deal. It's a big deal because of the fact that Shota is not Shota right now.
Right.
Okay? So that's what I see. We had listening to Craig Counsell in the post game yesterday, he made a lot of excuses. Sean, if you can pull that out and let us know when you're ready. He made a lot of excuses for Shota Imanaga giving up home runs that really made me uncomfortable.
Well, that made me uncomfortable too, because it seems like there's a tendency, and I don't want to start this either, but Jameson Taillon, when he was going through this earlier in the year, it sounded very similar. I know solo home runs aren't the death of any starting pitcher, but you did think that you wanted to be a little bit more accountable than Craig Counsell sounded last night.
It was a little, I mean, too, I thought two of the pitches were pretty good pitches. I thought the pitch to Andujar was a really good pitch. I mean, that was a great at-bat that was just kind of hard to figure out because he made some great splits, and Andujar did a really nice job fouling some balls off, and then he put a ball at the top inside corner of the plate, and he got it. So that one was the hitter did a pretty darn good job there. There was a mistake to McClain that, you know, was a ball that's going to get hit. The pitch to Hayes was, or the steer, I'm sorry, was, I thought, a decent pitch as well. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of other hits, right? I mean, he pitched really well other than that, but so those two homers, they were a little confusing to me. I thought they were pretty good pitches that normally he gets kind of fly balls on those pitches.
Yeah, he also gave up an RBI single.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but the homers are the big thing.
Well, the big thing to me is Craig Counsell is not an apologist.
He's not. He doesn't make excuses.
But he's apologizing here.
Is he worried?
I think he's worried about the psyche of Imanaga.
Okay, we're gonna go glass half full, glass half empty here, Bruce. Let's start glass half empty. Cubs are going into the postseason with Shota Imanaga giving up too many home runs and Matthew Boyd looking like a guy who's pitched as many innings as he has pitched. And those two lefties need to be sharp, and they aren't. Right. That would concern me if I'm being honest about where my pitching staff is. Agree or disagree?
Well, let's project it forward. Tuesday and Wednesday, they have big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Is Horton pitching Tuesday, or is it Boyd?
Horton,
and,
please.
And who isn't pitching that day, they're pitching the next day against the Mets.
Right.
Tuesday and Wednesday. Those two outings are going to determine how they set up their pitchers for the following week when the playoffs begin.
Now we're going glass half full.
Okay.
Cade Horton starting game one. Cade Horton being at the front of your rotation based on how well Cade Horton has pitched in the second half of the season.
What if he has a bad start?
What if it rains at 12 o'clock? You're going to have to bring an umbrella. You prepare for everything. You don't look at it that way. What? Okay. Everyone could have a bad start.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying right now about Boyd and Imanaga.
I said this was glass half full time, Bruce. And glass half full time is...
I always look at it like there's no glass.
Well, you have
there's
a broken
no
glass.
Glass. Okay. There's just the reality of situations.
But in the context of what we just heard from Craig Counsell, and he's trying to put the positive, most positive spin on Shota, you want to do that with everything that you're going into the playoffs thinking that way. Cade Horton is going to be as dominant against the Padres as he has against every opponent since July 4th.
So he's throwing a perfect game.
If he goes five perfect, yeah, he's doing his job.
Right.
And if he goes, and you really, you know, you say that facetiously, heck, he could go five hitless and nobody would be surprised based on how well he's pitched. It would be, oh my gosh, I can't believe that he's ready for this. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that he did this in the postseason. Yeah. He's ready for this. This is the most competitive guy in the staff.
There's no way you're going to get me to say anything bad about Cade Horton, okay? There's zero chance because he's been not the best Cubs pitcher. He's been among the top two or three pitchers in baseball.
So to me, it's not even a choice. You are positioning everything so he is your game one starter, so you can get a 1-0 lead, and then you go to Boyd or Imanaga if you want in games two and three.
You're going to have to win two games.
Yes.
So what gives you the best opportunity to win those two games? Cade Horton has to pitch one of them, right? That means either Imanaga or Boyd is possibly not starting in the first round.
I would say that Imanaga would be the odd man out in that scenario.
Right.
Matthew Boyd would be game two.
So Cubs lose the first game to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
The second game... it's all helter-skelter.
All hands on deck.
So no matter who starts, let's say that Imanaga starts game two. If he gives up two runs within the first three innings, he's out of the game.
See you, Shota.
Yeah. It's like because the whole scenario changes because you're in an elimination game in game two. So that's glass empty, right? That's a glass empty.
You have to prepare for the worst case scenarios.
But it's reality.
It is reality.
And when they sit there preparing for the playoffs.
And look, I don't have blinders on. I also understand the reality or the possibility that Cade Horton could face a Padre lineup that knocks him out in the third inning as well. You have to be prepared for every scenario. That's why Craig Counsell is there.
And that's why leading to your 26 players, you would have Jameson Taillon, who is your fourth or fifth starter.
Thanks for asking, Bruce. I have my 26 Cub man Cub roster for the playoffs. Yes.
So you have five starting pitchers.
I do.
On your 12-man pitching staff.
Yes, I do. I have a 12-man pitching staff, and five of them are the Cubs starting rotation. And I don't know if you heard the fine interview on the Mully and Haw show earlier this week. Jameson Taillon told us he would do anything. I bought it. I believe it. I think he would. You know him. He is willing to do anything. And I think you want that veteran presence there on your pitching staff in the event of a bad outing by Cade Horton, a bad outing by Matthew Boyd or Imanaga. Jameson Taillon could come in the third inning if somebody gets shelled and keep you in the game.
He'll do anything,
he said? He said he'd do anything.
Ask him if he'll paint my house.
He not only would paint Bruce, he wouldn't not only paint your house, he'd bring coffee with him, and he would serve the neighbors. This guy's the nicest guy in the clubhouse.
Yeah, and look, we are fortunate, the communication skills of the entire Cub team this year, and the White Sox young guys have been tremendous to deal with too, but the Cub team, as media people, we've been tremendously fortunate to have outstanding communicators.
It's a likable bunch. There's no doubt about it.
It's likable, but they're also articulate.
Yes.
They're very, You know, they're very well spoken, and they are not afraid to tell you what they believe the truth to be.
708, a good reminder, text in. Davis Martin just beat the Padres. So it gives you hope if you're a Cub fan that, okay, this could be possible. 312-644-6767. How good is this Cub group? Can they win it all? Before we get to the phone lines, Sean, we heard from Craig Counsell address this in his own way, talking about what it takes to win in October and why he doesn't think the Cubs are among or why he believes in this Cub roster.
If we're going to play a lot of October baseball, like, some of these guys are going to have to do special things. Like, which ones doesn't really matter. Like, but some of these guys are going to have to do some special things. We got a lot of candidates, and I think that's why we're capable of playing a lot of games in October. But we're going to need some special offensive performances for sure.
That was Craig Counsell earlier this week. He's exactly right. Who was going to bring the special into the postseason?
Well, we know Tyone's going to paint my house.
He's going to paint your house, yeah.
But what he's talking about is he's prodding his guys to be the stars that they were in the first half, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And he's hoping that this next week, and the Cubs have been playing good baseball up until these last two losses to Cincinnati. They've been playing really good baseball. I mean, Pittsburgh stinks. We understand that.
But you got to take care of business.
Exactly, and they have. They played good baseball. They got to a point where they were 24 games over 500. Their high water mark of the season as far as games over 500 this last week. So they've been playing good ball. The key is getting back Palencia this week. So Palencia is going to pitch tonight in Iowa.
Right.
Okay. After that, he's eligible to come off of the IL on Monday.
Why is he only pitching tonight? Why did he not pitch sooner? Was he dealing with effects of the celebration?
I think that workout was enough.
It was enough.
He probably had to go lay down.
And he maybe laid down for quite a while.
But it also pointed out, I don't think he's really hurt right now.
No, I think he looks happy. He looked happy,
yeah.
And they need him back.
Well, I mean, look, there were a lot of people, when he came out of that game against Washington after blowing the lead in the ninth inning, and that last pitch he gave up for a home run to lose the lead, he also hurt himself. Mm-hmm. So, the naysayers say, how badly was he hurt physically? How badly was he hurt emotionally?
He hurt his shoulder, but he damaged his pride. So both were probably a big factor.
So the question was, did he just need a timeout?
He might have. That's okay.
Right.
It has worked before. It could work again.
Right.
I want to talk to you about Palencia. I want to talk to you about Kyle Tucker, but I want to talk to our listeners first. Let's go out to the phone lines. Paul is in Valparaiso. Paul, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. As much as I hate to say it, I guess I can understand Counsell's point. I mean, if PCA and Suzuki have huge series against the Padres, I mean, that's, you know, would be, you know, I think we haven't seen that in, what, a couple months? Unless they do that, I know they say that they're coming back slightly, but I haven't really seen a ton to that effect that it's been that great. But if they play out of their minds, they have a chance. I just don't think they're going to be able to beat the Padres in three games. Boyd and Imanaga seem to be kind of on fumes, especially Boyd. I know he's one of your guests coming up, but I don't have a ton of faith in him being able to finish this off. Tyon, I think, should start one of the games, especially they're pretty right-handed dominant as far as their
Paul.
You know, he's a little Paul, pressure.
It's the playoffs. Everybody's got a chance. Now is not the time to like look at it glass half empty. This is a team that does have depth. If you start over, don't you believe the bullpen? It's all about the bullpen in October. Don't you think the faith in the bullpen outweighs your doubt in the starting rotation?
Well, you just said it. If Palencia comes back and is as good as he was earlier in the season, I'm not sure that he's recovered from that ego blow.
Fair.
You're talking
That's
about.
Fair. That's fair.
And then so here's the thing: is even if Kate, like you said, Kate Horton goes five shutout or five hitless, and they have to, who's the bridge guy to those 7, 8, 9 guys? That's 6, 7. Porter Hodge ain't the answer, obviously.
No, he's not.
So I don't know. They're going to have to, you know, that's where I think Tyon has to be on the roster because he has to be mixed in there as a reliever. I totally agree with you, besides paying Bruce's house.
Paul, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for listening. Bruce, he asked a good question. The bridge guys from the starters to maybe the closer or the final out-getters. Theobar, Pomerantz, Assad. Don't forget about Javier Assad. I think he's a sneaky good secret
Colin
weapon
Ray.
Here. Colin Ray is going to be able to help you out. Does Taylor Rogers make this team? We didn't even mention Kittredge. Kittredge is going to be important.
If you want the third left-hander, yes, he's going to make it. If you don't think you need the third left-hander, maybe not.
On my playoff roster for the first round, the Cubs have 12 pitchers. The odd men out in my scenario would be Michael Soroka, Aaron Civale, and Porter Hodge.
Okay, no one's going to drop their paintbrush now and stop painting my house.
I don't think so. I would have Jameson Taillon. I think because of the way, and I thought
you make a good case.
I think I'm informed by Craig Counsell's description of what he's looking for in his pitching staff. They're just out-getters. Stop putting labels on guys.
Here's the difference between Ray, Assad, and Taillon. Ray and Assad have been starters now, but they also have extensive time in the bullpen. Taillon does not.
He does not.
So getting Taillon ready compared to Ray and to Assad is a different dynamic in the bullpen. It's almost like the John Lester situation in the World Series.
Only where, break in case of emergency.
No, you have to give him
a clean inning.
And he has to come in. Because once he warms up and throws 30 pitches.
That's an interesting point. I think you're exactly right. So you have to anticipate ahead of time that you're going to be pulling your starter or pulling the pitcher, and you're going to be giving the fifth or the sixth, or maybe it's the third inning to Jameson Taillon.
Ray and Assad can get ready in 12 pitches.
Right.
So that's the difference in the three, and it's one that you have to deal with. And again, if you see your – and you only get to do this once with Taillon. Once you warm him up to the 30 pitches and he doesn't come in, he's done.
To your point.
Done.
Jameson Taillon broke into the major leagues in 2016. He has appeared in 222 major league games. 221 of them have been starts.
Okay.
This is a starting pitcher.
Right.
It's a good point. It also, if we're going to take Craig Counsell at his word, and we're going to buy into that philosophy of being an out-getter, what I just told you about Jameson Taillon's past doesn't matter because he's a guy that's going to be getting out in the postseason.
312-644-6767. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, it's all Cubs until the middle of our next segment when we do our famous chin music.
Chin music with Chris Getz at the bottom of the hour. We want to come back and look at, they call it Craig Timber, but they don't call it Craig Tober. Is there a reason why? We'll talk about the impact the Cubs manager could have on the playoffs. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
And the pitch. Grilled in the air, left field. Did he get it? That ball is gone. Two-run homer, Matt Shaw. Cubs lead 4-2. It jumped off his bat. He kind of golfed it, Ron. The pitch was really down around the knees. And he drills a line drive, home run to left, and the Cubs lead 4-2.
You love to see that. Matt Shaw getting hot before the playoffs, perhaps. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Highlight from last night's Cubs loss on here, The Score.
First home run in a month.
Yeah, you want to see him get a little bit more power popping his bat.
He hasn't been very good. He's an all-world defender. Hasn't hit much.
And you wonder what that will mean against a likely Padres pitching staff that includes some really top-of-the-line starters and maybe the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah, it's been that. But, you know, like everyone else, even the 100-mile-an-hour arms have been giving up some home runs.
Yeah. Well, you connect, know. As we know, with
Suarez
Daniel Plancia.
Suarez lost two games over the last 8 or 9 days and, you know, getting 100-mile-an-hour pitches hit out of the ballpark.
Mason Miller will be the guy when you talk about Palencia and his triple digits. You mentioned Suarez. Mason Miller can throw harder than all of them.
And he's got a hellacious breaking ball to go along with it. So you have to score early and hopefully often against the Padres to win games.
And their lineup is to be feared and respected with Tatis Jr., Machado.
It is, but, you know, you watched it last night against the White Sox and, you know, Davis Martin did a great job.
Nice job.
But there wasn't anything about that lineup that scared me.
Well, I think that maybe you look a little
Tatis
closer, though.
Tatis hasn't had really the greatest year.
I know, but
year.
It's just the guys, they can get hot and they can carry
they can.
A team.
I mean, they're stars.
They have stars. Yeah. And stars can carry a team in a playoff series, in a postseason experience, and that's what I think you fear about the Padres, them getting hot at the wrong time for the Cubs. Bruce, let's talk about Craig Counsell for a moment, because this is where he was supposed to be last year when the Cubs went out and they hired him at the end of the 2023 season before 2024. You thought, okay, we know he can do more with less. Let's see him do more with more. And last season was a disappointment. How much of where the Cubs are this season and what they have accomplished has to do with the way that Craig Counsell has managed this team? And how much faith do you have in a guy who doesn't have the greatest postseason record? He's good and was known in Milwaukee as the manager who can get you there, but he's only got one playoff series win out of the five times that he has appeared.
So the reason he was hired was the old, he can do more with less, okay? He can take his players and beat you. He can take your players and beat you, right? So that was the reason they hired him. It was even something that Jed Hoyer said at the press conference when they hired him. Fine. What did that really mean? What it meant was he was one of the most well-prepared guys who was even with his players, and players always know where they stand with him, honest to a fault, and also developed terrific bullpens and usage of bullpens in Milwaukee. Last year, he was not able to do that. This year, that has been the success of the Chicago Cubs beyond anything else.
Probably the biggest impact that he's had is how he's managed the bullpen. Right?
Not only managed, but with Hadavi, the pitching people, and him taking retreads and making them into star performers out of the bullpen.
That's a knack, and I don't know if it's the personnel that they have chosen, which is a front office decision, I know he's involved, or the way that the manager has been able to push the right buttons and put them in the right situations to succeed. But you look at
a lot of the latter here.
Drew Pomerantz, Brad Keller, even to the point where you talk about Aaron Civale coming over and
Theo
contributing. Theo Bar as well.
One of the most underrated bullpen pitchers in the game this year. And something the Cubs didn't have the two previous years, a shutdown left-handed arm out of the bullpen.
And they have used him.
Mark Leiter was their left-handed arm out of the bullpen.
Because of the reverse splits.
And he was right-handed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That takes something.
So that's how desperate they were. Now they have two extraordinarily competent left-handed pitchers, and Rogers is okay. So you have three left-handed choices for Counsell that he didn't have last year.
That's a good point, and I think now you wonder if he can navigate through the postseason and mix and match and push the right buttons to combat. Talent-wise, I think you look at the Padres, they probably have a better bullpen. With the Cubs, they can rely on their bullpen to be the strength of their team, though, and you'd say that confidently because of the way that Counsell has managed it.
Counsell has done a great job, and I thought he did a good job last year because I thought he had nothing. He had a horrible bench like he did this year, with all due respect to Turner, who's done a good job against left-handed pitching over the second half. But the bullpen was awful. The bench was horrendous last year. To win 83 games, I thought was max for them last year. So again, I'm a big proponent of Council by the way that he simplifies games and puts things into compartments of one batter at a time, one inning at a time, winning innings.
When
right?
he was in Milwaukee, what was the biggest criticism for why they didn't do more than win just one
star
playoff
players.
Series?
Star players.
So they basically looked at it as you pointed out, he did more with less, and they maxed out his roster. And by the time they got to October, they had nothing left. They didn't have those stars.
And it would be interesting to see under Murph if they're any different this year going in, because they had that unbelievable streak where they won 33 out of 44 games
really
or whatever
have.
It was. But they've been mediocre since.
Yeah, but since June 1st, they've been the best team in baseball.
Okay, fine.
And they go into the postseason, and people say, well, they're not built for the playoffs. I want to know what that means. I mean, what does that mean?
They don't have, beyond Peralta, they don't have sexy starter names.
Okay, but you know what? They have not been sexy at all. But you look at their record, and it's like, oh, my gosh, you've never looked better. I mean, it's like, that's pretty sexy, Bruce.
They've been a really good team.
I would love to see them play the Cubs. That would mean the Cubs would have taken care of the Padres.
That's what would happen, right?
Yep.
You just explained it. So if the Cubs get out of the first round, they automatically play Milwaukee. Because Milwaukee has the best record right now. Okay. And unless they blow that, which is not likely at this point, they have a bye in the first round, and they will play the winner of AB wildcard. AB wildcard is Cubs versus Padres right now.
Right, exactly. We talk all the time in this town about who's got the clout, who's got the power, how well does the front office and the manager or the coach work together. What kind of say will Craig Council have in putting the playoff roster together?
That's a great question.
Is it all him, or is it Jed's influence? How does that conversation
go?
It's
my first question to him Tuesday.
Okay.
You know, because and I know Craig, he'll just say, look, this is collective. You know, we sit down, we have our meetings, we discuss who we think is best. And then I'll say to him, my second question will be, when you guys are on the fence, who gets the final say-so?
We addressed this briefly on Friday when you were on the Mullin Haas show, and I thought about this afterward for a while. You know, the Cubs have such a strength in their camaraderie and chemistry, and Nico Hoerner talking about the other day, what's the secret to baseball? It's persistence, perseverance, and camaraderie. You bring in Billy Hamilton into the mix, and he may be able to steal you a base, and he is there for that reason. He also has not been here all season long. He'll be introducing himself to new teammates in the game one of the playoffs.
No worries. One of the terrific teammates in baseball over the last
That's his rep,
years.
And that's why the Cubs feel they could have.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that you just brought up, which is a great point, is in the old baseball days, it was just like, give me the guy that can hit me a three-run homer. Give me the guy that can strike out the inning at the end of the game. We don't care about whether they're great guys or not. The Cubs have done a terrific job of bringing in high-quality individuals to go along with their talent.
It's a high-character clubhouse.
It really is. And if there are any, you know, guys that aren't of great character, they're smart enough to know they're going to be pushed back if they show their real personality.
Do you believe that Kyle Tucker will be in a position to be on that playoff roster?
I have no idea. I mean, the reports yesterday again, and the daily reports are
vague,
very vague.
Vague at best.
That he had a good day yesterday, meaning it was a good day on Thursday, and the report was on Friday.
Okay.
He had a good day, but he still wasn't running. So that means since September 2nd, he hasn't done any activity.
Cubs return home for the final week of the season at Wrigley Field. Kyle Tucker's got to be in the lineup by Friday for him to be in the playoff roster,
He's
got to
be running
right?
By the middle of the week, Tuesday or Wednesday,
Not to be dismissive, Bruce, but I care more about him hitting than running.
Well, here's the really interesting sidebar.
Can he swing a bat?
The point is, can he get ready? Even if he's beyond his injury, can he get ready?
He's Kyle Tucker. He's one of the top. He came into this season as one of the top 10 to 15 players in baseball.
But you have to be baseball ready.
I know. But don't you want to take a chance and roll the dice?
Not Superman.
But you want to set up one of these magical moments.
Well, that's why he's got to play this week.
He's got to play
because
this week.
Because if he says, I'm ready on Sunday, and he plays one game, is that enough for you to put him on the roster Tuesday or Wednesday?
I would say yes. Okay. I would say yes. You're going to roll the dice with the Kyle Tucker.
All right. Okay.
I think you've got to take a chance that he's going to be that kind of guy that Craig Council described.
Right. As I explained to you and Molly on Friday, if you are injured during a playoff series and you have to be replaced, and you can replace people right away, you must miss the next round. That is mandatory. You miss the rest of that series and the next round, no matter how well
if
you're feeling.
If you are replaced, that would discourage people from doing that. And that's a good thing to remember. It's an odd rule, but one
there's
worth
a lot of odd rules
remembering.
In baseball.
A lot of, let's not get started on the Manfred man, the ghost runner. We could get off track here real fast. We won't do that. I won't.
I'm biting my tongue.
I won't
right
have
now.
To prove you wrong today, Bruce.
There's no wrong. It's just you don't have different rules for different parts of baseball season.
We will get back to the playoff roster discussion at the top of the hour after we talk to Matthew Boyd. The Cubs lefty will join us at 10 o'clock. But when we come back, a little chin music for the White Sox general manager, Chris Getz. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
He can take his'ins and beat yourn's. And when he beats yourn's, okay, he can take yourn's and beat his'ins.
Bum Phillips.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High and inside, chin music, a little chin music, take that hit for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Well, you got to get an understanding of what the free agent market is. Obviously, what other clubs are trying to accomplish in regards to, working out a trade to help out each club. So time will tell. You need to kind of get a sense of, how quickly the market's going to move. I think more than anything, you look at the free agent market, you look at the pitching and the hitting. And what we feel like could be a fit here. It's a little too early to predict how everything's going to play out, but I think all areas of the team can be improved.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chris Getz talking about the potential free agent market.
He was dancing.
Was he dancing there?
Yeah, he was
dancing. That was dancing music?
Yeah.
Well, the White Sox will be in the market for everything, but especially starting pitching and a big bat. I don't know how active they will be. I don't know if we got any indication from that.
So the bottom line is always, will they have money to spend?
Okay.
Right now, I would say no. Until they trade Luis Robert, who they have to spend money on to make him into a trade possibility. So that's why I've been saying for weeks now, bringing Luis Robert back is throwing good money after bad.
Dylan Cease pitched against the Sox last night, and they beat him. Dylan Cease also will be among the free agent pitchers on the marketplace. Is it a ridiculous question? Answering before I ask it.
So is Chris.
Is it a ridiculous question to think the Sox would be interested in Dylan Cease?
Well, why don't they do that and trade for Chris Sale the last year of his contract next year and try to work out a deal for young players for Garrett Crochet?
Okay.
All right.
So you want to go X White Sox pitching rotation for 500, Alex, and I could do that. I'll take Crochet. I'll take Rodon. Cease. I'll take Lucas Giolito.
Rotation, I will guarantee you more than 80 wins, okay? I guarantee you another improvement of 20 wins for the White Sox.
What's the White Sox number one priority in the offseason? What's their number one priority?
Getting players to plug in with the good young players.
We heard from Chris Getz on Wednesday. That was from Wednesday. They did their end of the season access on Wednesday, 10 days before the season was over. Maybe they'll do it again. Not sure, but I think when you heard him talk about the future of pitching in the organization, he acknowledged that he thought that Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz would be in the position where they would be ready to go at the outset of 2026. Thursday night, Hagen Smith pitched five hitless innings in a playoff game for AA Birmingham. That was a promising sign after a relative disappointment this season. Do you think those two guys will be in your 2026 opening day rotation?
Maybe one of them.
Which one do you think is more?
Smith is more progressed right now.
Well, Noah Schultz also injured.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, again, we don't know what that's going to look like. I think forcing young pitchers to matriculate before they're ready is a big mistake. It's a huge mistake. So, again, getting them ready, getting them innings professionally to pitch is really important, okay? With pitchers more than hitters, you know, I want to see them dominate at the levels that they're at.
Davis Martin, Shane Smith, only two White Sox starters who I think are, I don't even want to say locks, but they are favorites to be part of the opening day rotation in 2026.
Right. Again, the overused term, and I use it as much as anybody, is the linear progress of baseball players.
Okay.
And I think because we've heard all these touted names, right? They're young, they have great arms, they're going to be good. One and two is correct. Three is not always correct. Very rarely is it always predictable what number three is, right? So, yes, they're talented. Yes, they're projected. A lot of them are, you know, what we saw Burke and Cannon go through this year.
Burke and Cannon both had good moments. They both started probably strong in ways that maybe you expected, and then they took dips that maybe you didn't.
And then they end up back in the minor leagues.
They're back in the minor leagues.
Right.
Developing.
Right, developing, which I give the White Sox a tremendous amount of credit for, that they identify the need for those guys to develop rather than get their brains beat out at the major league level.
We've kind of reversed the order of things with the White Sox. The beginning of the season, you figured that the starting pitching or the pitching in general was going to be the strength of the young prospects in the organization. They had better pitchers than position players. And now here we are, and you're celebrating. I think celebrating might be too strong, but you are encouraged by the progress of the positional core.
Right. And I think that description that you just corrected yourself in is really important to remember. Because the White Sox do have major league talent now at the major league level, guys that are coming through their system that they traded for, that they're developing. But they're not finished products.
No, far from it.
Right. But they have really good talent. So that is encouraging, but it doesn't guarantee you being a better team next year than they are this year.
It guarantees you nothing because you have to see them continue to grow at the rate, if they can improve as much going into next year as they improved going into this year, then you're onto something.
So if you're plugging in free agents, let's say Jerry Reinsdorf and Chris Getz and the top people with the White Sox are sitting in the room and they're talking about the offseason, they're sitting around saying, if we plug in three free agents and we spend an extra $40 million on them, is that going to buy us some time for our young players to get better and to improve? Or are we just trying to put a more interesting product on the field?
I think the answer is both. If I'm in that room, I'm saying that there's value in doing both.
Right.
Because you need to put a better product on the field. You have more eyes on them now. You have an obligation to do that. You also have the encouragement of your young core who has given you reason to justify spending on veterans.
Right. So the economic answer to that is, how much are we going to spend? How much are we going to make back? Are we going to draw more than 1.2, 1.3 million people?
Benintendi is in left field. He's a fixed cost. He's probably going to stay there. Luis Robert Jr. is coming back. Right field, let's put
Not necessarily.
Okay, well, let's say let's just for the sake of the argument. Luis Robert Jr. is center fielder on opening day. Braden Montgomery is your right fielder on opening day. Your infield is
That's a big jump.
Montgomery and Mydroth up the middle. Vargas at third. Let's put not Josh Naylor at first. Let's go out and buy a big bat and put him there. And then your catching is taken care of with Teal and Carroll. And now you add to your young pitching with maybe a free agent starter, cost to be determined. And now you're talking a little bit more competitive. Now you're being a team that is able to take another leap. They're the most improved team in baseball this year, but they still going to lose 100 games.
Well, if Grant Taylor is the version of last night's Grant Taylor.
Oh, he was nasty last night.
And you fill in some of the bullpen.
Okay, like
again,
Bassel.
I personally think the Sox are still a year away.
I do too.
From spending money.
I think that's. Yeah. I unfortunately think I agree with that. I hope that we're both proven wrong in this offseason, but I doubt it. Last night was a fun night at Wrigley Field.
Here's what their plan is: get Luis Robert traded in the offseason.
Okay.
Take that money and put it toward some.
I could live with
veterans.
That.
Right.
I could live with that. We need some finality to the Luis Robert Jr. conversation.
Yeah, for me, that ship has sailed.
If they trade him, then I definitely think that they can move on.
But they're
but spend that money.
But there's the $20 million to trade him. They're going to have to eat some of the money.
Okay.
So that's why I say throwing good money after bad. I like Luis Robert. I still think he can be a productive major league player. There's three teams, Padres, Phillies, Mets, that all are going to want Luis Robert in the offseason.
I wonder what they will give up. Maybe we'll talk to Steve Stone about that at 10:30. He's coming up next hour. We got a big hour ahead because when we come back, Matthew Boyd has been as consistent as anybody in that Cub rotation, and we will talk to him about what's ahead for the playoffs. It's Inside the Clubhouse. David and Bruce until 11, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.